Hi, and thanks for listening to the Without a Roof program on KZFR. This is Josh Indar, subbing today for Bill Mash, who invited me to share my experience helping out with Project Homeless Connect, which was a community event we held last week, where we gathered some 65 essential services together in one place at one time to try to solve some of the needs of our county's sizable homeless population. And we hosted about 675 guests that day. But my job was really with PR, so it was almost already done, and I decided that I would collect some of the stories from our participants because I really wanted to document some of the experiences and the needs and the voices of just a few of those 675 people who we hosted out at the fairgrounds that day. The first interview I'm going to play you tonight is with a man named Greg Schmidt. When Greg Schmidt sat across from me, he seemed like someone that might be building your house or selling you a tractor or something. He's not someone who you would look at and guess that he was homeless at all, or that he'd actually been in jail recently for over a year due to a drug problem. But he told me that he was a guy who liked hard work, and from the look of him, I believed it. He said he used to look down on people that were in the situation that he's in now. I guess he never thought that it might be him someday.
My name is Greg Schmidt from Warville. My story is I was a hardworking man up till 5 years ago and slid off the track, got on drugs, lost everything. I still have my wife. But in order for me to get clean and sober to this day, it took me to go into jail for almost a year. And so, and the end result is I'm clean and sober now for over 5 months and just starting to get my life back together. So, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, you probably hear that quite a bit, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm slowly at 51 years old. I got the rest of my life to get back on track again. So I'm excited, though. It's all new to me right now. This is all new, so I don't really know what's out there. I would say more counseling, group sessions, you know. I know a lot of the places out there, one of the steps I have to do is enter a residential treatment program. And I'm not funded by the county or the state, so I'm going to have to do that, either work my way through it or something. So, you know, I wish there was more free welfare beds available for people like me that can't afford it right now. Even though I am a working type of person, it's just going to take a minute to get back on my feet again and get a job, you know. Other than that, I'm grateful for what is out there, you know. I am grateful. So it does. It does. I wish there was more, you know, I was judgmental before I became this way, and now I'm not so much judgmental because now I've been on both sides of the tracks, and I wish there was more people that can be like that and not be as judgmental, because I don't know everybody's situation, you know. And people look at me sometimes and it's hurtful, you know. But that's the bet I made, you know, for 5 years. So it's a hard one, you know, and you got to build that relationship back with your family, your loved ones, your coworkers, have them to have trust back into you again. And it's a slap in the face, it was for me. So, but there's no turning back for me now to this day. I'm moving forward, so that's it, yeah. So anyways, I'm Greg, and that's my statement for the day. Thank you, bud.
I also met a guy named Pat Sweeney, who could have been 30 or 40 or 50. It was real hard to tell. Pat surprised me a little bit with his candor. He is a veteran who works part-time at a library, but for the past 8 years he's been caught in the grips of addiction. He seemed to me like a man who wants badly to be a good father and a good person, but feels tormented by the guilt of his failures. I hope he was able to find what he needed at Project Homeless Connect. It seemed like with just a little help, he'd be okay.
As far as my son goes, when he was born, I was with him when he was born. It was greatest experience probably in my life. But I don't think I was ready to be a dad. And we lived for a short time right after he was born, just wherever we could, in a motel we started out. And I moved to San Francisco. I was working there. He was there. He was 1 year old. And Lisa got accepted into the Esplanade House. There was a waiting list for about a year. And I told her she should go and she should take Harlan with her. Because it's better for him. I'm living in a second-story apartment. There's no security bars on the windows. He's a one-year-old boy wandering around the apartment. I'm getting a drug addiction, and I told her to go. And ever since then, she's never kept Carlin from me, but she hasn't opened her arms to me and let me come back into her life. As a man or as a as part of a household, she's always kept me separated. She's kept to her guns, you know. But Carlin has been amazing because he, even though I've been separated from him and not knowing where he lives or go to school and I don't read him books anymore too much, I see him pretty much every other day or every day, and he goes to the skate park, and I help him do his homework, and when I'm clean and sober and doing good, I can be a good dad, and it, you know, it's just kind of like materializing really slow over the period of 8 years, because he's eight now, and it hurts me that I can't stay over, sleep over, or go to dinner, but that's something that she's just put the stops on, and so I've accepted that because of, I'm not ready yet, and I'm not deserving of. And she, I see her point because she wants a stable household for her son. And but Carlin's been fantastic, and he just like hasn't skipped a beat. He's just so I'm really thankful for that. I'm thankful for his health. And, you know, I work at the library 20 hours a week, and for $10 an hour or whatever, and that's fine. It's good now. I'm thankful for that. But I really need a job with benefits and a future and accountability. I got to be accountable. My time, I got to be working, you know, and having a regular lifestyle, balanced lifestyle. And, you know, too much time on my hands and slipping by has enabled me to, you know, just say fit and use. And it's okay. You know, I'll get it together tomorrow. And that doesn't work. You know, because 3 days later, I'm out of money and I don't have anything. And it's just stupid. I feel like I'm missing what's important, and what's really important is family. And I think when you get lost in the drug culture, it's easy to forget about your family and who loves you. And it's hard to understand why your family's being so hard on you and not giving you a chance or doesn't want you to be around. So It's when one is involved in drugs, then they feel like everyone's turned their back on them, not just they've turned their back on their family, and that's not true. It's just getting back to your family and having their family accept you, but you can't get that until you finally get relief from drugs, because you're no good when you're on drugs. Methamphetamine, I'm talking about the main street drug here. Getting into counseling, getting off the street, getting into a program, they're missing that. Because they're not, then they can get what they're really missing is love from their family. So that's what everybody wants, you know. And honesty is everything, too. And he knows I'm sick of it, and I'm trying to turn it around, and although I have money with me, and I have it 3 weeks, and I have money in my pocket, and I'm living in my car right now. I'm trying to get housing, but I'm still seeing my boy and doing what I have to do, and I'm on the right track. But it's a process for some people. The Veterans Resource Center is trying to help me get into Vectors. They do permanent housing for low income for veterans. I just got here because I had an appointment with the Veterans Resource Center. But there's all kinds of services that people can provide to help them get off the street and get into recovery here, which is really what they need to do, because This homelessness is a process where I think you have to say, okay, I got a problem. Yes, I will go into the Salvation Army. Yes, I'll go over here. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get sober. It's harder. You know, I don't like it, but that is the way out of this. And it's like a video game. You have to go through it. Every parent says, oh, I never want my son to go through what I've been through, you know. And so that's where I really, that's why it's important. You know, everything's important. I'm glad what you're doing.
There were a couple people that I interviewed at Project Homeless Connect who needed just a little bit of reassurance that, you know, they could tell their story and it was going to be okay. But that wasn't the case with my next interview. It was a guy named Justin who told me he was the lead singer of a band. And I have to say, Justin's story was a bit of a wild card. But whatever you think of his claim that he owns California and knows pretty much every martial art ever invented, I could tell that he really meant it when he talked about how much he hated the drug heroin and what it's doing to our community, which I've seen firsthand. And he was really adamant about, as you'll hear in the interview, don't get it anywhere near him because he's seen how it's taken away a lot of his friends.
I gotta tell a story. Okay, I'm Justin Ray Jameson Cummings. I was born 1986-7, November 15th. I started out in Martinez. So then I got up here and it was all like flowers and butterflies and unicorns, you know. So I figured I might just like monopolize. So my aunt bought Stony Ford, my uncle bought Round Mountain, I bought Paradise. And between all of us, we own California Lock, Stock, and Barrel. So everybody just needs to get out. Anybody that's hostile or has a gun needs to just leave. Or I will come after him. I'm the night ninja. I have a four-bedroom house, but I have been homeless. I was on the streets down here in Chico, and there's a lot of people that try to be terrorists and hurt people, and I've been defending everybody my whole life. I'm a black belt in seven different martial arts, including Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kung Fu, and I was a mixed martial artist for 17 years. My mother is a black belt who she trained from Sam Craft. She was also a robber, but we won't go there because the feds are listening. But anyways, strike that from the record. I got arrested for possession, dropped out of school, watched all my friends die. I can't handle that no more, and I'm tired of all the heroin and everything around my town. Just let the world know, if you're in paradise, get out with heroin or I'll fucking kill you.
One of my most intriguing interviews of the day was with a guy named Sean, who looked to be about in his 30s, and had kind of a Southern California accent going on. Sean never really told me why he was homeless. He seemed bright, active, unconventional, with a backstory that could be described, I guess, as rags to riches to rags. He told me he hates money now, called it the root of all evil. He said it makes people take advantage of each other, but living without it hasn't been easy either. Sean had a lot to say, so I just let him roll. It's a pretty incredible story, but his final thought reminded me of a Greek philosopher called Diogenes the Cynic, who they say would wander for days carrying a lantern around, searching endlessly for an honest man.
Sean Holbrook, from all over. I was born Air Force. Well, you know, all this, I guess, you know, food, you know, I'm homeless here, so. A year as of May 5th. Well, it's not so bad. I mean, I don't mind it. My ex used to say I'd make dirt look good. So, you know, and that's when I lived in a house. It's challenging. People think that you know, people yell at you, go get a job or this and that. You know, being homeless is a full-time job. I like to see these people go out and scrounge cans, you know, 24 hours a day. Pretty much everywhere you go, you're looking for a can. You know what I mean? 24 hours a day. Well, a lot of times I don't even sleep. Tell you the truth, stay up for 2-3 days at a time without even, you know, no drugs, nothing. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, well, sometimes you just don't even have a choice. I mean, you can't nap anywhere. You know, you can't lay down. You can't go into the park and lay down and without being harassed. Because if you lay down or sleep or anything, then you're, you know, quote unquote camping. You know what I mean? And then, but you can sit up. and sit in the same spot, and it's like, what, you know, I mean. But then during the day, you can go out there and put a blanket down on the grass and sleep. But you can't at night. But you can't at night. And at the same time, in the same place during the day, you can go and put a blanket that you just got a ticket for the night before. You can go in there during the day and put a blanket down and sleep. You know, when 6 hours earlier you're getting harassed by the cops. You know what I mean? It's frustrating. I don't know. I hate the word helpless, but I'm not as helpless as some of these people seem to be or whatever. So I help out as much as I can. I have my little things that I do. There's a lady, and I just bumped into her one day on a Friday. She picks up a bunch of food boxes from leftover stuff from Safeway, and I go meet her there between 10 and noon on every Friday, and she gives me a box of her stuff. I just bring that back to the, you know, everybody else and just hand it out, whatever, you know. I'm not doing anything anyway. I might as well, right? Because as soon as, like, you become homeless, you know, I mean, I was, you know, be homeless, like, 2 days and, like, or 3 days and or a week and not have a shower and look like I've been out there for 30 years or something, you know what I mean? And just look down upon and frown and just, you know, and just, you know, scum of society when they don't even know that a week before, you know, I was, you know, writing checks for, you know, $10,000, you know what I mean? You have no idea who you're running into out there, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm homeless here, and I've done all this and everything, but I've written a check to the IRS for $187 million, personally. Okay, so, you know, but I mean, it doesn't even, you know, none of that stuff matters anymore. It's all different lives. And you aren't who you are then, you are who you are now. And I guess that's the biggest thing, I guess. Few people ruin it for the rest. The biggest change in America, I think, would definitely have to be for America to remember that this is our country and we have the right to defend our country even against our own government. That's why we came up with the Bill of Rights. That's why we came up with the, you know, amendments and the, you know, the Constitution. It's why, and it even says in there, you know, we have the right to be militant and to take our country and to not be overthrown. But we're robots. We watch TV. We watch stupid little shows. We watch, you know, people acting all day long. That's all we do. That's all everybody does. Is watch people act, you know, on TV and you know, they, you know, act like they like their jobs. You know, everybody acts like they can drive a car. It's like a wannabe Pleasantville. You know, but not everything's black and white. You know, it's the pretty much the premise of it all coming down to it. And you know, personally, I think that this is, I can imagine on a much bigger scale, but this is, I can imagine how Nazi Germany started. You make everybody, give everybody what they want, make them conform to, you know, to certain things, small things, and small things, and then small things, and small things. Well, you know, over a long period of time, a lot of small things, all of a sudden you just go, wow, man, I remember when, you know, and it's just not there anymore, you know, and we're just giving away our rights because voters are voting on stuff that they're uneducated about, and they're listening to some, you know, flappy-jawed politician speak on some stuff and give promises with white teeth and, you know, pointing fingers. That's all it is. And they're not, you know, nothing's, I don't think I remember actually, like voted for a person that actually kept anything that they said they were going to do. It's all just, you know, bells and whistles. It's all a facade. You know, my dad ended up creating a multi-million dollar company, and I was serious when I said I wrote a check for $197 million to the government in back taxes. All right? So I've seen the money made in an instant. I mean, we've seen money made lost in just as fast as well. You know? I mean, it's that easy. You know, my dad made the money with two phone calls. You know, he sold flowers for FTD in Orange County. He turned around and he actually made me part of the company because I came up with the idea. He was delivering phone orders to flower shops to deliver to homes. And I was like, well, why don't they just call an 800 number? I'm 10 years old. I told him, why don't they just call an 800 number and then you just call the flower shop and then use your own credit card and pay for it and then blah, 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 you know? And he was like, huh. He went to work, quit his job, came home, called the phone company, 1-800-Flowers. Bought the name 1-800-Flowers. bam. Called the Yellow Pages, said I want to buy a full page ad. 1-800-Flowers, bam. Sat by the phone. 13 years later, $290 million or something sold to Hallmark. It was like that. I hate money. This is my fourth time being homeless since we lost like everything, you know, all the money and everything. And even when we had it, I didn't like it. I've golfed with Michael Jordan, you know. I used to be friends with Noah Wiley. I don't know if you know who that is, you know. But, I mean, and like, you know, Dave Holmes from MTV, the old VJ, you know, one of the original VJs. And I mean, we started a winery, Bridalwood Winery, St. Inez Valley, outside of Santa Barbara. It was a bad place, man. I mean, everybody came there. It was, you know, Maroon 5, like, did a photo shoot there, and it ended up on the cover of Rolling Stones magazine. Was the backdrop was our winery, you know. And I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, but it's all stupid, you know. I've driven the Ferraris, Lamborghinis, you know. I've been down to Santa Barbara Boulevard, you know, in you know, the perfect time of the season when all the girls in college and you know, throwing wads of money everywhere and just acted a fool, and I did it all, you know. I've seen it, and I've been here. But it makes you appreciate everything, being here, you know. People take advantage of it when you got money. Money's the root of everything, root of all evil. I don't know. I got a lot to say on a lot of stuff, you know. Yeah, my father graduated alumni here at Chico State. I never stepped foot in Chico until last year. Street address, I don't know. I'd become homeless, you know. I do have a... Oh, man, I haven't listened to that one in a while. I just got my phone back because everybody keeps stealing my stuff. I think that's one of the hardest things, actually, being homeless out here, is keeping track of your shit. Excuse my language. But, I mean, man, I mean, I can't... I mean, I'm a fairly smart individual, and I don't think that being homeless out here is that hard. I think it's pretty freaking simple, you know? I mean, the hardest thing about it is... If you're just a normal person, you're just a regular individual, and you just do what you do every day, then you shouldn't be a problem. I don't get harassed. I don't get bothered. People are friendly with me generally and everything, but I think that's because I don't take the homeless stance, and I leave every place that I go to, I leave it better than when I left. Leave it better than when I got there. You know, I'm like. People here, you know, they'll take the food out of your hand and all the trash that goes with it, and they'll be like, "Oh, I'm starving," but then as soon as they're done, they just stand up and walk away and leave all this trash sitting right where they left. And you know, and that dumbfounded me when I first started seeing that out here. I missed my fourth time homeless. I've been homeless for 6 years total, out of my whole life, you know, since everything, and I've never seen it like this. Homeless as much. As they do here, homeless stealing from anybody as much as they do. I've never been privy to as much thievery as in just a short amount of time. And for it to be so accepted is just blows my mind. I mean, I've never before seen another. I've lived in 16 different states. You know, I mean, everywhere from I lived in Key West for a year and a half. You know, I got family in New Hampshire. My uncle. Uncle Tim was in the class. Was in Krista McAuliffe's class. She was the woman teacher, the astronaut. I remember sitting there with a big group of people, you know, and watching that thing go up, and everybody just going, "Oh," you know. I mean, you know, because that was our teacher. You know, it was our, you know, I knew her, and like, pretend like everything's okay. Pretend like we love our jobs. Pretend like, you know, something doesn't bother us. You know, just pretend. That's all we're taught to do. You know, it's hard to find real people out there nowadays. It's hard to find trustworthy people out there nowadays. On top of that, you know, someone to be honest with you, and you know, it's hard to find.
I know there are plenty of people out there who look down on the homeless, but. Even those who think the worst of people who are down on their luck must have some sympathy for a woman I met named Mindy Hammond. She's a mother of three whose daughter is on the autism spectrum. And, you know, just bad credit and few options for work and some expensive you know, medical expenses have really brought her to the place where she's at. She's in transitional housing, but she needs work or vocational training or something like that. But you know what I was struck by with Mindy was, even with all her troubles, she still was optimistic, and she told me that she believes in changing the world, quote, one person at a time.
I'm looking for services to help. I have three children, 14, 12, and 6. My daughter is disabled as well, not physically but mentally. She's autistic. So just looking for more help. So far I've looked at the unemployment center, the Valley Oaks I'm looking at as well. I already received Social Security for her, and there's just a couple other things I was looking into. Right now I live in low-income housing, and they're helping me try to better my credit. My credit is very bad. And then I had an eviction on my record from my ex-husband, and just trying to get things clear so I can have a better rental. Me being a busy mom of three children, not having to go 50 million places, it's all in one spot. So I can say, hey, look, I can do this, this, and this. When all those things are in five different places throughout town, it's really helpful. I think people don't honestly realize how many people in our town are homeless, and their situations brought from many different things. It's not, oh, because they were all drug addicts or they all veterans. They are so many different spectrums out there. We just need to figure out more if it's building another shelter in our town, getting more outreach through the community, having maybe an apartment complex built that's just for homeless community people in the community, just to help. My 14-year-old nephew is trying to give back, and there's people who attack him on Facebook because they're like, you can't end world hunger. You can't end homelessness. You can't. And he just wants to give back and help people. That I think if there were more kids like that who said it's one person at a time. And that's how you change the world, is one person at a time. And it's each person paying it forward on what they do and what those people help you. And so that's just what we need to do. Na 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 na.
All right, thanks so much for tuning in to the Without a Roof program on KZFR 90.1. This is Josh Indar. I am subbing today for Bill Mash, bringing you stories from the Project Homeless Connect that we had last week. I want to thank those who let me interview them and told their stories. I thought they were really interesting and really powerful, and I hope that our listeners got something out of that. And also like to give a huge thanks to all the volunteers, the community members, the service providers, and to coordinator Charisse Allen and her team for putting the Project Homeless Connect together this year. I hope that we can do it again next year or 6 months from now, or, you know, as soon as possible, as much as possible. Because these are services that really need to get out there. And I'm going to leave you with the Los Canadians. That's the music I've been playing throughout the segment. Thanks again for listening.